Wasn't that lovely? Last week I didn't get an opportunity to welcome some of you that were here that we hadn't seen in some time, not because you didn't want to, but you were busy away at other places. Xander, welcome back. And also Ralph, I saw you somewhere. And so you might be here visiting for the first time. We're so glad that you are here. Or maybe you haven't been here in some time. We're so glad you're back. And as we get into the Word of God, before I go there, board members, don't forget our board meeting on Monday at 7 p.m. Monday at 7. I know you'll be distraught if you can't make it. But as we get in God's Word, let us pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you because you are good to us. We've done nothing to deserve your blessings, but you give them to us anyway. And on this Sabbath day, we ask, O God, that you will fill us, that you will feed us, and that we'll realize the hunger that we have of you. Thank you for fulfilling your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I will visit you. With today's message, can you believe that we have gone through the book of Genesis? Quite the journey, if you ask me. And as today's message kind of finishes up the story of Jacob. And you might be wondering, well, Pastor, why do you go through the Bible? Well, the Bible says of itself that all scripture is inspired by God. And good for what? For correction, for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for good works. Jacob, we have learned so much from him, and today we get the last portion of it. Turn with me to chapter 46. One of the things we started seeing with his grandfather, Abraham, known as the father of faith, we find some moments of faith even yet in Jacob's life. You see, Jacob's heard that Joseph is still alive, and this is like really great, amazing news, because for so many years he's thought that maybe he's dead. And he not only hears that Joseph is alive, he believes that Joseph is alive, and he wonders, what should I do? Should I go down to where Joseph is at, or should I stay here and wait that he come my way? Jacob's wanting to do God's will. He's wanting to go where God wants him to go, and that always brings an amazing blessing. Jacob could have reasoned, I think I'm old enough. I think I know where I should go. I don't need God on this one. I'm okay. I'm a big boy. And sometimes it's precisely here where we can make a mistake that ends up costing us quite a bit. It doesn't matter how old we are. The issue is whether or not we're willing to follow where God wants us to go and to do what he wants us to do. Jacob thinks about what he's going to do and decides to do what he's been doing every day. You want to know what Jacob's been doing every day? He's been worshiping every day, and God shows up in a vision. Some say, don't you know, Pastor, that every day is a day to worship God? That is very true. In fact, if we're not worshiping God every day, we're not hitting on all cylinders. But the Bible also tells us that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. And the Sabbath is the day of corporate worship. Sunday through Friday, that's individual, private worship. But the Sabbath is where we worship God together. We continue on. And God tells Jacob, Don't be afraid. Go down to Egypt. It's going to be okay. And when you go down there, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And better yet, when you go down there, I will be with you. Jacob gets all his stuff and he goes down to Egypt with all of his tribe. And he starts naming all of his children and grandchildren. Why is that important? I mean, you have a long list of who's and so-and-sos in chapter 46. Why is that important? Because everyone's important. Who's important? You're important. Amen? I mean, we have people every day taking their own lives because they think that they're not important. Everyone is important. Jacob sends Judah ahead of the rest of the gang to guide him. You see, Judah was the intercessor, and the intercessor, our intercessor, is Jesus. And Jesus always goes before us. Jesus was the one who went before Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden. Jesus is the one who led them out of the Exodus. Jesus is the one who guided them in the wilderness experience. Jesus is the one who was at the walls of Jericho and knocked them down. Jesus was the one who went before us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was the one who led us to Calvary. Jesus led the way from the tomb and from the grave. Jesus always goes before us. And as we speak right now, he's going before us in the most holy place above. Joseph then takes the initiative to see his dad. He gets on his chariot, meets him in Goshen. He presents himself. He falls on his neck, and the Bible says that he wept a long while. Jacob then says, I can die now. Why? Because he's seen Joseph's face, the face that he's been waiting to see for so long. Wow. He was so excited to see Joseph's face. But could you imagine what it'll be to see Jesus' face? Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face to see and know. Face to face. Will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Let me tell you, Jesus longs to look into your face and into my face. But the question is, do I long to look into his face? Could we say like Jacob, I can die now. I'm ready to die today. Can we say that without a shadow of a doubt? Or is maybe there's something that doesn't allow us to make a statement? Joseph tells them that he's going to go let Pharaoh know who's arrived. Who's arrived? Jacob and the whole tribe arrived. Joseph makes a big deal about their occupation. He tells his brother, listen, when you get into Egypt, make sure you tell them that you're shepherds, okay? Why would Joseph be so concerned about letting his brothers know what their occupation would be once they get into Egypt? Shepherds? Well, Spirit of Prophecy tells us this would enable them to remain a distinct and separate people and would thus serve to shut them out from participation in the idolatry of Egypt. See, growing up in New York, my folks made sure I didn't go to one of our schools in the city. They said, no, you're going out in the middle of nowhere to Blue Mountain Academy in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, where there's more cows than people. Why? Because they didn't want to have me get caught up in the idolatry of the city. And you know, I wonder what helps us today from getting entangled in the idolatry around us here, even in little old Roseburg. I'll tell you what. Finding God's sheep and keeping God's sheep. It is when we get focused on finding his sheep and keeping his sheep that all of a sudden we really don't have time for the garbage that's out there. Chapter 47. Now he's in Egypt, Jacob, that is. Joseph tells Pharaoh about his family. Pharaoh asks them about their occupation. Very interesting. They say there's no pasture for their flocks and request to live in Goshen, not in town, not in Egypt per se. And Pharaoh offers them the very best of the land, and he gives them Goshen to dwell in and desires that if there be any able men who can take care of his cattle, please help him out. Joseph now brings Dad to meet Pharaoh. He brings him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And in thus doing, Jacob lets Pharaoh know that Jacob is a spiritual leader. You want to know what kind of spiritual leader Jacob was? He was a prayer warrior. You see, I believe wherever we go, whomever we're with, wherever we are, God puts us there so that we can pray with those that we're with. I challenge us this week. How about whether it's someone somehow at work? I know we got to be careful about that. But the Bible also says, seek and you will find. I wonder if in our creation, I wonder if in our grocery shopping, I wonder if going into town, if we look for the opportunity, what if everywhere we went, we at least sought to see who can I pray with where I'm going and where I'm going to be at? Because just like Jacob was used to pray for Pharaoh, I believe God is calling us to do the same. Amen. Jacob then gives his testimony about how God has led his life. And guess what? You have a testimony as well. The fact that you are here today is because God has led and is leading you. And by faith, guess what? He's going to lead you. Joseph takes care of his dad and the rest of his family, and they all lived happily ever after. Is that how this story finishes? Oh, that's right. The famine doesn't get better. The famine intensifies. It gets a whole lot worse. And now the money isn't any good anymore. And now they had nothing to buy food with. And Joseph tells them to sell their cattle in exchange for bread. And that worked for a little bit of time until they came back to Joseph saying, now we have nothing to sell you except ourselves and our land. Please buy us, because that's the only way we'll survive. Do you feel today like maybe you're just barely surviving? As we put our trust in God and do our best to do what God wants us to do, God will pour out his blessing. You see, the Bible says God does not forsake the righteous, and their children never have to beg for bread. That's God's word. Do you believe it? Like the Egyptians who realized that unless they came to Joseph, they would die. Unless we come to Jesus, we too will die. Has Jesus bought us? Well, yes, he has. Is he the owner of everything in this world? Has he not given us a seed of which to sow? And we reap what we sow, but if we don't sow, we won't reap. And it might just be time to reap. The Egyptians, they view Joseph as their savior. Praise God, he's given us a savior in Jesus Christ. But Jacob, and Joseph are much more concerned by bigger things than just the famine. They're concerned about going home. Chapter 48. Jacob's days are quickly coming to an end. And he makes Joseph promise him that he won't be buried where? In Egypt. He tells him, Joseph, you got to carry my bones out of here. And he's to be buried in what place? In Mamre, in the cave of Machpelah. He tells Joseph these words, but yet he still has some unfinished business to do. He still has to bless Joseph's boys. Who were they? Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph brings his boys to Jacob's dad, and he blesses them. And Ephraim is on Jacob's left, and Manasseh is on Jacob's right. And that's the way Joseph brought them to dad to be blessed. Why? Because who was eldest? Manasseh was the eldest. He was the one to receive the birthright blessing. And as dad goes to pray, Jacob does what? Does this. He crosses his hands. Interesting. What is dad up to? One word. Repentance. Repentance from what? Repenting from doing things his own way and not trusting and waiting on God. You see, Jacob had not forgotten how he lied to his dad and took something that was supposed to be his, but he took it the wrong way. And now all he had was his grandsons. You see, God could have easily told Isaac, cross your hands when blessing Jacob and Esau. What was this movement about? What was this right over the left that now he has a, what's that look like? It's a cross. You see, the cross helps us to do what's right. Ephraim receives the birthright blessing, and Joseph tries to stop dad, and dad says, I know it. I know it. He's telling Joseph, I know what I'm doing. It may not make sense in your eyes, but guess what? What you think is irrelevant. What he thinks, now that's really important. Jacob couldn't do much about the deceitfulness of his past. But what he did have control over was the present and the future. What decisions are we making individually and as a church that will be a blessing for the present and for years to come? Because sometimes we say, oh, we haven't done this, or we should have done that. Well, guess what? What's done or isn't done, we can't do anything about that. But what we can change is the here and now and what will come later. Chapter 49 comes the blessing and a prophecy. Jacob now proceeds to give his sons a final blessing and prophesies over them. And Judah is loaded with blessings. Chapter 49, verses 8 and on, the Bible says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, he shall rouse him up. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in what? Wine. and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. He was able to see the one that was to come, Jesus. Jacob makes them vow that they won't be burying them in Egypt. He's to be buried in Mamre. Who else was buried there? Oh, that's right. The rest of his family, and specifically, Leah. Did you know that Jacob really only had to marry Leah? Because the lineage of the Messiah comes through Judah. Amen? But he wanted more. God did not tell him to do those things. After blessing the boys and getting their vow, Jacob gets into bed and dies. That's all. As he dies, now the mourning starts. Joseph weeps and takes care of his late deceased dad. They mourn for 40 days. The Egyptians mourn for 7 days. And Joseph goes to Pharaoh, and he makes a request in verse 4. When the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, where shalt thou bury me? Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. Did you know that grace is a part of prayer? It is. Unless our prayers are covered in the blood of Jesus, they're not acceptable before him. Grace and prayer are closely tied. How can I ask God for things if I'm holding on to sin? It's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing isn't right, but can you still help me? Sometimes we pray to God as if he was some waiter at the restaurant. I'd like to have this and that and the other thing and make it snappy. No, God is not our waiter. He is God Almighty, the King of the universe. Joseph asks Pharaoh if he can bury his dad as he had promised to do, and Pharaoh agrees that he can do that. The Canaanites realize as Joseph and the rest of the gang are mourning and coming to the land of Canaan, and they realize that something happened big. Joseph and his brothers fulfill their vow. And as dad is dead, now comes the moment of truth. You see, they're thinking, dad has died. Joseph is coming for his. It was so much the fear that they had that they lie about dad. And they said, oh, when dad was still alive, Joseph, he kind of told us to tell you to make sure that you forgive us for what we did earlier. Yeah, that never happened. And what happens next is powerful. Joseph cries. He cries because he realized what he had done years ago in already pardoning them. These guys think that he's holding a grudge for the things that they've committed against them. And it makes me wonder if sometimes Jesus might cry when we doubt his grace. I wonder sometimes Jesus cries when we doubt his blood. I wonder if Jesus cries when we doubt his pardon. And Joseph tells them, am I in the place of God? You see, revenge, sometimes we fail to realize what it is. Revenge is actually taking the place of God. Why? Because God is the only one who has the whole story, and God will judge rightly. You see, Joseph realizes that God wanted to use him to save many people. And I praise God because God wants to use you and I to save many, many people here. Who is God going to use you to save other people? I mean, who is God going to use so that the salvation of souls might happen? Could it be that he's going to use you? Is he going to use me? If we're willing, he will do great things. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verses that Shelley alluded to earlier, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, that's why we can't stay in darkness. If we're the light of the world, and if for some reason we're in dark things, then how are those who are in darkness ever going to be able to see the light? Joseph's response to his brothers, "Don't be afraid. I have already forgiven you. Not only have I forgiven you, but guess what? I'm going to take care of you." They doubt whether or not Joseph is actually telling the truth. And sometimes we doubt whether or not God is telling us the truth and that he has pardoned us and will take care of us as well. We doubt that God has forgiven us of our sins. Now, if I'm still in that sin and I'm doubting whether or not God has forgiven me of my sin, well, that could therein lie the issue. But if I've confessed my sin to God, if I've repented of my sin to God, I should have the assurance that I am what? Forgiven. Amen? What a great opportunity we have today to get right with God. You see, Joseph knows that just like Dad, he soon was going to die as well. And here's the truth of the matter. Unless Jesus comes first, all of us in this room will be dying. Right? The only thing is nobody knows exactly when they're going to be dying. But some of us could be closer to it than others. And I don't say that to be mean. But my point is this. What are we doing with the time that we still have left of life? That's the sadly, the year of 2019 has been filled with more memorial services than I'd like to remember. While we still have breath, like the aged Jacob, even though he arrived to Egypt on his last legs, he still realized he needed to bless somebody, and that somebody was Pharaoh. We too need to bless somebody's life and tell them about the Savior and his soon return. Joseph prophesies to his brothers, and he tells them, God will visit you. And here's the thing about this story. It actually makes its way into the book of Exodus. Things don't get better in Egypt after Joseph dies and his descendants multiply. In fact, they get a whole lot worse. They become slaves for 400 years. And when hope was almost gone, God sent his deliverer Moses and led the Israelites to the promised land. Now, I need to say something in lieu of the political climate we find ourselves in. Republican or Democrat, that's not the issue. Impeachment? No impeachment. that's also not the issue. We are almost imperceptibly moving to what the Bible calls persecution and suffering as there never was. It is the loss of our religious liberties that are eroding. You see, the Vatican is starting to hear our country speak and act as prophesied in Revelation 13. Is it no wonder the Pope has not said a peep about the state of the society in this country? That's not coincidence. Soon, Sunday worship will be enforced and liberty of conscience threatened and persecution started because of it. The slavery is coming, just like the slavery that was coming after Joseph died. But what did Joseph prophesy? Who will visit us? God will visit us. Do you believe that Jesus is still coming? You see, the sequence that we find in the Bible is this: judgment, of which that's happening right now. Then we see persecution. After persecution, we see the plagues. And last but not least, deliverance. This story ends with Joseph's desires. He tells his brothers, "You're not leaving my bones in Egypt. I need to get my bones out of here. He might be dying in Egypt, but he's not staying in Egypt. He must be buried where God's people dwell in the promised land." And let me tell you, some of us are caught in the sin of Egypt. But guess what? Today's a day to get out. And some of us are doubtful about the slavery and persecution of Egypt soon to come. It's time to believe and prepare and share this vital news. Like Joseph, we need to choose to get out of Egypt. As Jesus is ready to give us victory right here, right now, but it's also time to embrace the prophecies fulfilling around us. Will God visit us? Joseph said he would. Did God visit them? If God visited them, he too will visit us. At this time of year, we remember when Jesus came down to this world as a humble babe to walk where we walk and to pay our price at the cross. Don't you want to trust him more? Then tell the ones you care about our loving Savior, who soon will visit us. Like Joseph, I'm not getting buried in Egypt. How about you? Like Joseph, I'm crossing over there. Is that your desire? May we all be found ready to see Jesus face to face for what he said would happen before he visits us will happen. May the Lord find us ready.
Will you stand with us now and open your hymnals to number 206, Face to Face. We'll sing all verses.
Rapture, I behold him, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. We thank you for the goodness of your heart in letting us try to understand your love and your plan for our lives as soon Jesus will come. I ask, O God, that we, as we receive your grace, like Joseph, may impart your grace. I pray that as we have been told of things to come, that we may embrace your word of truth and share it and shine as the day dawns. Thank you, because today you want to get us out of Egypt. May in Christ's strength, may we move forward by faith and not look back. Thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.